Biblical Demonology by Merrill F. Unger, Van Kampen, 1952, 250 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. 1. The Problems of Biblical Demonology. 2. The Origin of Biblical Demonology. 3. Biblical Demonology and the Standard of Evaluation. 4. The Reality and Identity of Demons. 5. Description and Doom of the Demons. 6. Biblical Demonology and Demon Possession. 7. Biblical Demonology and Magic. 8. Biblical Demonology and Divination. 9. Biblical Demonology and Necromancy. 10. Biblical Demonology and Heresy. 11. Biblical Demonology and World Government. 12. Biblical Demonology and Eschatology. 13. Biblical Demonology and Deliverance. Summary. Chapter 1. The Problems of Biblical Demonology. The supernatural realm and the existence and activity of both angels and demons is fundamental in the biblical record. Every culture in history testifies to the reality of evil spirits, and we cannot understand religion or the world if we disregard their activity. Students of the Bible need to study this topic, but also recognize that the Bible does not reveal everything about it. The real problem is not the Bible's silence on aspects of this topic, but rather the faulty interpretations that have been commonly espoused. Some are overly fascinated by the demonic realm, while others are skeptical and deny it. Popular demonology that isn't properly grounded in Scripture is a mass of superstition and imagination. The New Testament and early church fathers were sober in their views, but soon after, superstition set in, and even the reformers were not free from it. In pagan cultures, there is a pitiable enslavement to superstitious terrors. In the ancient Near East, the nations around Israel, like Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, Persia, and Arabia, were filled with magic and occultic practices. The Quran carries on their views of jinn and spirits. In the naturalistic worldview, the problem is not superstition, but hyper-skepticism and the rejection of the supernatural. The presuppositions and methodologies of naturalistic science preclude an investigation of the supernatural and evil. Naturalism denies revelation, and this makes understanding demonology impossible. Both naive superstition and excess skepticism distort the facts and lead to erroneous conclusions. Chapter 2. The Origin of Biblical Demonology. Natural historians of religion are unable to do more than speculate about the origins of demonology. Comparative religion has produced a host of conjectures and contradictory interpretations of religious phenomena and their development. There are numerous unjustifiable presuppositions. For example, that Israel's religion had to develop like the religions of other nations. The evolutionary idea that religious belief progressed from animism to polyism to monotheism is false to historical facts and is contradicted by Revelation, where we learn that polytheism and animism are devolutionary from monotheism. There's no evidence for the view that demonology originally emerged from astrology. Scripture reveals that everything is created by God, but demons were not created as evil beings. Lucifer was a good angel who rebelled, and there were other angels who were led into his pride and defection. God's revelation takes us to the cause, whereas human investigation can only study the effects. Scripture provides a framework in which the activity of evil spirits can be understood. The early chapters of Genesis contain embryonic demonology that requires the angelic rebellion prior to the fall of humanity, and records Satan's communication with Adam. What Scripture records accurately, the surrounding nations maintained in a distorted mythological way. Chapter 3. Biblical Demonology as a Standard of Evaluation. God's revelation in Scripture is always true and reliable. This is especially helpful when we look at demonology, where there is so much distortion and confusion. Israel's scriptures have a high and sober tone concerning demons, which is free from the tremendous superstitions found in the accounts of other nations. The Bible treats evil and demons with the weightiest consequence, tracing the cosmic dimension of rebellion and sin. What God reveals about demons is not for theoretical interest, but is for practical help in spiritual warfare and deliverance from evil powers. Biblical demonology is pure in its monotheism, not falling into either polytheism or dualism. Unlike in other religious views, God is fully sovereign over demons. Humans, likewise, retain their moral agency and cannot blame their deeds on demons. When they sin, they yield their wills to evil. Whereas other religions have no real hope for deliverance from evil, Scripture shows us the victory over evil is won by Jesus Christ. Apart from divine revelation, it is impossible to sift through the errors of religious demonology. Whenever deities are multiplied and the monotheistic belief in an infinite holy God is lost, demonic conceptions abound. These false conceptions generate all kinds of excesses and superstitions, which in turn produce extremely futile and damaging practices. Unsound theology affects our view of God, human nature, and the spirit realm. This debases our understanding and practices, and cuts us off from the only real deliverance, which is in Christ. Chapter 4, The Reality and Identity of the Demons. The biblical witness to the existence of demons is unequivocally clear. They are beings, not personifications of human evil. Jesus and the New Testament authors all accepted the ontological existence of demons. Belief in evil spirits is universal across human history and cultures, and this requires rational explanation. The best explanation is found in God's revelation, which is also corroborated by human experience with evil that goes beyond our natural capacities. Scripture is less concerned with the origins of demons than in what they are, which is personal evil spirit beings. In the New Testament, disease and demons are differentiated. Diseases do not call out and identify the Son of God. Some have argued that demons are the offspring of angelic beings and the daughters of men. See also Genesis chapter 6. But this position is unsustainable. The Bible's teaching is that demons are fallen angels who rebelled with Satan. If these fallen angels are not demons, then Scripture nowhere tells us about the demons' origins. Amongst the angels who fell with Satan, some have been locked up in the abyss for subsequent acts of wickedness, while others continue to have a measure of freedom in the world. Linguistically, the Greek word we translate as demon once referred to gods, then to lesser beings, both good and evil, and then in the Septuagint and New Testament referred only to evil beings. Idols are non-entities, but the demons behind them are real. In the New Testament, demons are intelligent, unclean, evil spirits who can harm people in many ways. Chapter 5, Description and Doom of the Demons. Scripture refrains from any details beyond what is necessary for warning and safety in the face of the demonic. Demons and evil spirits are the same. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Spirits are invisible, but angels can at times take on human form. And demons can as well. There were times when God gave prophetic sight so that the invisible world of angels or demons could be seen. Evil spirits have supernatural knowledge and great power, but are depraved in every way. They are tireless and zealous in doing evil and deceiving. Demons, first and foremost, oppose God and God's ways, but they also try to hinder and destroy people, hurting them in this world and keeping them from salvation. Despite their desires, God uses demons to accomplish His own good purposes, including being instruments of justice on the ungodly or bringing about trials that refine His people. Satan's hosts are well organized and marshaled in the air and on earth. Those on earth stand behind and motivate godless governments, social structures, and ideologies. In the end, they will fail and be punished eternally. After the millennial reign, the abyss will release its demonic prisoners for one final rebellion, which will end with every evil spirit being cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 6, Biblical Demonology and demon possession. Scripture clearly teaches that demons possess people, but this is scoffed at by many today. Our minds can be influenced, and the human body can be possessed by evil spirits. There was an enormous head-to-head opposition between Jesus and demons during his earthly ministry because his light exposed them and he came to destroy the work of the devil. Demon possession and expulsion took place both before and after Christ's time on earth, and there's no reason to deny its reality in the contemporary world. Powers of darkness manifest themselves in different ways in different cultures, as missionaries attest. Accounts of demonic activity across times and cultures is incredibly uniform. Where the gospel penetrates, there is at first overt spiritual warfare, but the gospel pushes back the darkness, and then more subtle forms of demonic activity arise. These forms often lead many to deny the very existence of demons. A great many descriptions of demonic activity and possession from all over the world are completely resonant with the New Testament accounts. Symbols, personifications, and linguistic accommodations cannot account for the biblical record or human experience. In Scripture, demon possession is the inhabitation of a person with the direct control of demonic beings. Often the person opened themselves to it through repeated sin. It is difficult to know where responsibility begins and ends in the merging of the demon and human personalities in the mind, words, and actions. Although not every disease is caused by an evil spirit, the New Testament is clear that some are. There are physical brain disorders which produce bizarre behavior, but not every case is one of demon possession. When it comes to the insanity of the mind, however, the mind is not reducible to the brain, and the activity of demons is untraceable to science. Believers can be influenced and tempted by demons, but only unbelievers can be possessed. Jesus and the disciples expelled evil spirits, but they never performed exorcisms, which were based on magical rites and incantations. Casting out demons in the name of Jesus was not a fetish or charm, but a work done in Jesus' power. Chapter 7. Biblical Demonology and Magic. Israel's religion was hostile to all pagan practices and rituals, seeing them as demonically inspired. Although there's a lot of overlap, we will look at magic, divination, and necromancy as forms of demonic practice. Much of magic is illusion and trickery, but real magical practices enlist supernatural beings to bring about things beyond human ability. Where magic is used, the moral dimensions of religion deteriorate. Magic spells are like prayers, where the agent's moral character is irrelevant for results. Both Old and New Testaments categorically and emphatically reject magic and pagan rituals in all their forms. Every type of idolatry was abhorrent, and every kind of talisman was banned in God's law. Magic practices corrupted the heart. They were polluting and enslaving. The book of Acts recounts encounters between the apostles and occult practitioners, and the power of God and the light of Christ prevails over the darkness. In the New Testament, magicians try to use demonic powers, but they themselves are actually instruments of Satan. Chapter 8. Biblical Demonology and Divination. Divination was pervasive in the ancient world, and it was tied to magic and the occult. It exists because human beings crave knowledge of the future. Its two main forms are regarding omens and using mediums who give oracles through the power of demons. The basic assumption in divination is that there are supernatural beings who possess knowledge that they will reveal in certain conditions. Old Testament prophecy came from God as a gift of knowledge, which was not earned or procured by the machinations of the prophet. In Israel, false prophets and those who sought demonic knowledge were to be put to death, and God's word was always the standard for truth. Balaam discovered that no word of divination or cursing could harm God's people when God was determined to bless and protect them. All connections between astrology, the worship of the sun, moon, and stars, and divination were anathema. In the New Testament, there are examples of real magicians and soothsayers who were filled with demonic powers and spoke oracles given by evil spirits. Chapter 9. Biblical Demonology and Necromancy. Necromancy is a subset of divination that was widely practiced in the ancient world and is experiencing a resurgence today. It specifically seeks knowledge from the spirits of the dead. This phenomena is not mentioned often in Scripture, but God's law banned it, and the penalty for engaging in it was death. Necromancy was one of the reasons God punished the nation with exile. Those who thought they were talking to the spirits of the departed were actually conversing with deceiving demons. The incident with Paul and the medium at Endor shows both the duplicity of mediums and the danger of engagement with evil spirits. The medium expected her familiar spirit to impersonate Samuel, but she was shocked and terrified when God intervened and sent the spirit of Samuel himself. God sent him to pronounce judgment on Saul and also to condemn all occultic practices. There is nothing in Scripture that corresponds to contemporary definitions of witches, but there are male and female sorcerers. In other words, those who are involved in the field of divination and occult. They were condemned to death in God's law. Popular superstitious ideas of witches and witchcraft have no place in the Bible, and English translations should reflect. Contemporary Spiritism, despite its many frauds and illusions, is the same as ancient necromancy, and it traffics in the demonic realm when it is genuine. Chapter 10. Biblical Demonology and Heresy. Scripture is our God-given defense against all demonic activity. God's truth defeats the enemy's lies. His light conquers the darkness. It is when we lose touch with biblical truth that we are exposed to our enemy. Perhaps the most conspicuous demonic activity is an attack on God's word. The New Testament warns against apostasy and heresy, both of which are inspired by demons. Seducing and deceiving spirits lead people away from truth and faith. Paul wrote to the church to warn them against doctrines taught by demons, which are passed on through false teachers. Often false doctrines and religions have zealous adherents, and this is because they are energized by evil spirits. It is important to recognize that John didn't say, "Believe not every teacher," but rather, "Believe not every spirit." Evil spirits do not confess the core truth of Christianity, which is faith in Christ's person and perfect work of redemption. The contemporary religious confusion is not attributable to humanity alone. It is the work of the devil. God's Holy Spirit unifies the church in truth, whereas evil spirits love to foment discord and create divisions. Truth unites and error divides. So Satan attacks God's holy word. Demonic doctrines have contradicted and perverted every major truth of the Christian faith and have led people into all kinds of aberrant practices. However, even though many may be led astray, the truth of God's word will prevail. Chapter 11. Biblical Demonology and World Governments. There is no sphere in human experience that demons do not influence, and there is no realm more significant than their influence in human government. Behind dictators, oppressors, and ungodly leaders, there are various powers of darkness. Satan's activity is controlled and curtailed by God, but he exercises sway over the world of the unregenerate. The ungodly world system is organized according to Satan's designs, since he is its prince and ruler. He wages war to keep his control over the lost on the earth. The worldly system is evil despite civilization. It is judged according to God's holiness and not fallen human standards. It is characterized by antagonism to God, truth, and purity, and it's characterized by pride, lust, and war. Satan is no match for God, but he is a constant and deadly danger for everyone, including God's children. In the future, Satan will be cast from heaven and fill the Antichrist. He will release an unprecedented regime of blasphemy and violence, revealing what the ungodly world system has always truly been. Satan's final rebellion will be destroyed by Christ. And when Satan is cast into the lake of fire, the demons go with him. Thus, the evil, satanically controlled world system is ended in Christ's triumph and glory. Godly leaders are filled with the Spirit and ministered to by angels. But demons influence ungodly governments and lend them strength. Without God's restraining grace, and because they do not have the armor of God, the unregenerate are helpless. Hitler and World War II clearly revealed the work of the demonic realm, and this is continuing in the atrocities and lies of communism. In the end times, there will be a manifestation of demonic evil and control in government unlike anything experienced before. Thankfully, the Lamb destroys all the powers of darkness, and that great deceiver will be defeated forever. Chapter 12, Biblical Demonology and Eschatology. Everything on earth will be greatly affected by the final outpouring of demonic activity in the end times. Many Christians are ignorant about the Bible's teaching on the demonic realm and do not understand the relationship between demons and eschatology. The Laodicean church does not keep God's word, and Christ is pushed to the outside. It compromises at every turn, rejects true doctrine, accepts lies, and is led by demonic influence into apostasy. The fundamental rejection is a rejection of the incarnate Christ, denying two works Christology and his work of redemption on the cross. With Laodicea compromised in truth, it becomes morally corrupt and endorses unholy practices. When the church is raptured, the Spirit is withdrawn with them, and since the Spirit restrains evil, the earth will be flooded with wickedness. Demonic lies and power will no longer be curbed. The mystery of lawlessness will be revealed, and the designs of Satan will be known. We cannot imagine the levels of wickedness and violence that will be unleashed when people refuse to repent, no matter how severe the judgments of God. In the last days, Jews will demonstrate greater hardness of heart than ever before, and they will make a covenant with Antichrist. They will suffer as a result and cry out for true deliverance. Christ will return, and they will recognize him, repent, and put their faith in him. Chapter 13, Biblical Demonology and Deliverance. Scripture does not answer many of the questions we have about demons, but it does reveal everything practical that we need for resisting them and for deliverance. Satan and the fallen angels are confirmed in their depravity and do not have a hope of redemption, so they only work for evil. Being themselves incorrigibly wicked, they try to corrupt others and keep them enslaved in wickedness too. They relentlessly attack both sinners and saints, and unless people repent and are redeemed, they are held by demonic powers and destroyed. Nothing is of greater importance than being delivered from their power. All the unsaved are ensnared by the devil, and he lies to deny the truth of the gospel, denying sin and fostering works righteousness. We need to know that only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from sin. Unbelievers are offered the cure, and believers are offered prevention and liberation. In union with Christ, we have died to sin and cannot live for it any longer. It is only in Christ that we have the victory over sin. We are to stand in the armor provided by God rather than in the weakness of any armor we could make ourselves. What is fatal to the weak can strengthen the strong, and by analogy, God permits the attacks of demons upon his children to strengthen them in Christ and lead them to maturity. Through Christ, we already see the light penetrating the darkness, but one day, his glory will be fully seen, and every shadow of evil will be banished forever. For all eternity, evil will be defeated and removed, and God's righteousness will be seen to the praise of his glory. We will forever worship the Lamb for loving us, redeeming us from sin, and conquering our enemy. Copyright 2024, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.